The other night I remarked to someone I know how much harder kids work in school today than they did 40 or 50 years ago. Of course, maybe they just work harder than I did 40 or 50 years ago. I can still recall when one of my high school teachers said to me, "Son, you have a very good mind. Now, why don't you use it?" And then later in seminary, a professor said to me, "You have an excellent mind," and that made me feel great. But then he added, "Unfortunately, you also have a scattered, non-linear mind." And I can see many of you who have been subject to my sermons over the years nodding your heads in agreement. But here's the curious thing. Nobody ever said of Jesus, "That was a wonderfully reasoned talk you just gave." I looked it up in the concordance. Nobody ever said, "Jesus, you have one of the finest minds in Galilee." What they said of Jesus was, "He's gone existime. He's raving existime." Did you hear that in this morning's gospel lesson? People say, "He's gone existime, out of his mind." Jesus is back home, and his family wants to be proud of the young rabbi they've produced. Unfortunately, his family was hugely embarrassed because everybody, upon hearing Jesus teach, watching him work, says, "He's existime. He's out of his mind." By the way, there's much the same reaction to Jesus in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 20. Jesus says, "I am so good a shepherd, I am willing to die for a bunch of stupid sheep." And the class responds with one voice in the class evaluation form, "He's out of his ever-living existime. Die for a stupid $9.95 plus postage sheep? That's crazy." Now, I know what you're thinking. Unlike me, Jesus didn't have the benefit of a seminary education. Jesus never published a book. He never published an article. He lived with his parents until he was 30, never held a job, never owned a home, never dated, and instead spent a lot of time partying with 12 unattached men. But I still ask you, does that make Jesus guilty of raving existime? Jesus, say something rational to us. Give us something on which we can hone our sharp minds. All right, try this. You only grow up by turning and becoming like a little child. You can't get into the kingdom of God until you revert and become as a child. Want to win? You do so by losing. You get by giving. You live by dying. Wow, sure doesn't sound rational to us. Sounds like you're out of your mind. Jesus, say something thoughtful, but make it something practical so that we can use it in our daily lives in the world. In other words, Jesus, I'm trying to make partner get real. All right, try this. Blessed are you poor. Happy are you hungry. How fortunate are you who are divorced or unemployed. Congratulations to those of you who are spiritually poor, to those who don't have much spirit. What? Blessed, fortunate, happy? Are you existime? Are you out of your ever-loving mind? Where I come from, when you're unemployed, people treat you like you have a disease. They don't want to catch what you've got. In our world, those who are poor, divorced, or are bereft are thought to be failures. Because here at church, we don't like thinking of ourselves as spiritually inept. We're sitting here this Sunday because we're spiritually rich. And Jesus replies, "Oh, I'm not talking about the way 9 out of 10 people think. I'm trying to teach you how to have a different sort of mind." Once there was a rich hedge fund manager who was very, very successful. He built so many homes he couldn't remember how many he had. We call him a success, a model for our young to emulate. "Soul, take ease. You have so many houses you can't count them," he said to himself. That night, an angel of the Lord tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Hello, fool." Now, the man who told that story is clearly existime. He's clearly out of his mind. Do you remember when Paul said to us, "Have this mind in you which was in Christ"? Doesn't say try to have the right mind, or you should have a generally well-informed, disciplined mind. Paul says, have Jesus' mind. In assessing the soundness of Jesus' mind, I remind you that sometimes, whether Jesus' way, the way of the cross, is seen as reasonable or crazy, depends on what gets counted for as reasonable. Do you think it's reasonable that in order to graduate from college, 45% of our 22 to 25-year-olds are indebted with an average of $22,000, resulting more than $1 trillion in student debt, which now exceeds both auto loans and credit card debt? If you think that's perfectly reasonable, you can make a bundle lending money in the education industry, but there's a good chance I'll never be a good enough preacher to keep you from thinking that Jesus is certifiably out of his mind. If you think that's reasonable, you may tend to hear Jesus respond, "He's gone completely existeme." He was one of the acolytes here, an ordinary kid who played video games, glassy-eyed, unresponsive, nonverbal. And talking to him one day at an annual acolyte lunch, he told me that for a class in high school, he started reading the Wall Street Journal. "Best class I ever took," he said. "Why?" I asked. "The world of adults seems so boring, so dull. But reading the Wall Street Journal has helped me see how the market works and how it's behind so many decisions that get made every day. I've seen a new way of thinking," he said. There were people in the congregation this morning who had the same thing happen to them after their baptism. One of the world's oldest defenses against Jesus is he's existeme. It wasn't so much Jesus was out of his mind. It was that he had a very different mind. And I think that some of you will back me up when I say that it's tough to be held accountable in our discipleship to the Son of God, who happens not only to be Jewish, Galilean, crucified, and since Easter on the loose, but who also happens to be, in the eyes of much of the world, a bit existeme. And you know, existeme seems to be contagious, at least in this congregation. If you think about it in a certain way, one of the great joys of the Christian faith is that it's fun to have your mind messed up by Jesus. By the way, what is the episode that immediately precedes this charge of existeme against Jesus we have this morning? What crazy, ridiculous thing did Jesus do right before they said he's gone out of his ever-loving mind? I'll tell you. The charge that Jesus is existeme was evoked by this crazy, ridiculous act of Jesus. Jesus appointed the 12 apostles to be with him, and he sent them out to preach his message, to have authority to cast out demons. Simon, who he liked to call Peter, James, son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James. You see, they didn't mind Jesus preaching. He made some awfully interesting points that might have made some sense. They didn't mind him casting out demons or raising the dead. Nice thing for him to do. But when he insanely gave everything he had and hoped to do into the hands of 12 uneducated, like-minded, unbalanced yokels, while the world with one voice said, looking at his idea of disciples, "He's out of his mind." They were troubled when they met Jesus. But when they met his assistants, that's you and me, by the way, when they met you and me, they said, "He's existeme." Amen.